So I get up this morning, and I get ready to go get them, and I get another text. Said, we got food poisoning last night. We're not going to be able to make it this morning. I said, okay, Lord, what do we do now? And because I wanted to kind of set the stage for the message today with the skit. But between the praise team leading us in Rescue Me this morning, and Lynn and Carson's song really sets the page for us. I'm just waiting on my slide to come up. There we go. Okay, so I want to, first of all, invite everybody on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, every year we do this. See you at the poll. I got it right here, though. I'm good. See you at the poll is September 25th. That morning, students from around the country will gather around the flagpole at their school to pray and to worship together. Last year, I was able to go to Easley High School and be a part of that one. And I'll tell you, it encourages students to see their church members standing behind them. In a spiritual sense, but also physically. This world's mean. This world's got a lot of cruel people in it and a lot of cruel students. A lot of students who don't know the love of Jesus who want to ridicule and criticize our students. But I go there to say, I dare you. These are my kids. So I encourage you, if you're able to, Wednesday morning, find a local school. I don't care if there's students out there or not. Go to the flagpole. Pray for the students walking by you. If there are students, pray with them. Pray over them. It's the only way to protect our students at school when we're not able to be there, is to pray for them. But I just wanted to make sure we made a point to announce that. But today, we're going to talk about anchored. Plant your foundation in Christ Jesus. So if you look on the screen, you'll see a definition of the word anchor. A device usually of metal attached to a ship or boat by a cable and cast overboard to hold it in a particular place. A reliable principle, a reliable or principle support, something that serves to hold an object firmly, an object shaped like a ship's anchor, the member of a team, such as a relay team that competes last, a large business such as a department store that attracts customers and other businesses to a shopping center or mall. And in the term of mountaineering, a fixed object such as a tree to which a climber's rope is secured. I looked at these seven definitions of the word anchor, and I thought about how each and every one of these relates to our God. So a device that's usually of metal, attached to a ship or a boat by a cable and cast overboard to hold it in a particular place. I'll tell you, when you're anchored in Christ, you ain't going nowhere. The Bible tells us don't go to the left or to the right. The only way to keep from drifting is to be anchored in Christ. A reliable or principal support. Well, that kind of speaks for itself. My God's reliable. Something that serves to hold an object firmly. Once again, whenever everything around you seems to be collapsing, God's still there. He holds you firmly. An object shaped like a ship's anchor. And I don't know if you see it or not, but right in the middle of an anchor, I see a cross. So that cross shows me the anchor of Christ. The member of a team, such as a relay team, that competes last. Now that one, I had to say, okay, God, how does that relate? And then God laid it on my heart to do a Bible study with our students that started this morning. Warren Wiersbe's Bible study on Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, first thing tells us, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Not only did he begin, but he's the end. So no matter what you're going through, he's always still right behind you. A large business, such as a department store that attracts customers and other businesses to a shopping center or mall. That one, again, took a little bit of thought and a little bit of praying, but God said, it's not the people who attract other folks to church. It's not a beautiful church building. It's not the music, but it's me. It's Jesus who attracts people to himself, not other people. So he is the anchor of the church. A fixed object, such as a tree, to which a climber's rope is secured. I'm telling you now, just as if you're climbing a vertical mountain, if you're not secured and you take a slip, you're going to fall. Climbing this mountain of life, if you're not secured to the anchor at the top and your foot slips, there's nothing there to catch you. But with Christ, there's always someone there to catch you. Primary scripture this morning is going to come from Hebrews 6, 19. This hope is strong and trustworthy. Let me start that over. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for joining with us this morning and coming into this place. And God, we truly can feel you here this morning, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and the presence that you give to us to let us know that you are here. We thank you for being our anchor. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the final anchor. Lord, I pray at this time you'll hide me behind the cross. May I get out of the way and let you speak through me. Be with each and every person that's present today, Lord. Open their hearts and minds that they may receive your word. And God, I pray for any lost soul within the sound of my voice, God, that you just use me to reach their hearts and speak to them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wanted to show you guys a couple of things this morning, some statistics from the National Institute of Mental Health. And you'll think kind of, it's a little weird. But I want you guys to understand my heart. My heart is for ministry. And whenever I say that, I mean my heart is for students, for children, and for families. Because I'll tell you, one of the hardest things you'll see is a family that is not a family anymore. A broken home. And it hurts. So if we can keep our families together, like God tells us to do in Scripture, a lot of other things, I think, will take care of themselves. And if we could get the family involved in the church. Now, understand the words I just said. The family involved in the church. I did not say attending, and I did not say coming to church. Involved. I'll tell you, if you've never worked in the church, it's hard. Some days, you want to give up. Some days, you just want to leave your key in the door and say, I'm done. But then there's other days, whenever you hear a little kid give their heart to Christ, or you see a family that's been struggling to stay together, come back together stronger than ever, there's no feeling like it. And to know that your little bit of work for Christ may have had something to do with it, I don't care how much you get paid, no dollar amount can compare. But these statistics are from 2017. 46.6 million adults in the United States alone, aged 18 and older, were estimated to have some form of mental illness. Mental illness among women was higher than men, 22.3% to 15.1%. Now we say, wow, it's a lot of folks. And we as the church are called to help those same people. Now, understand that this mental illness category is a broad spectrum category that says anything from autism to depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, all those are in this category. It's actually called AMH, any mental health condition. Young adults aged 18 to 25 years, which I don't know if you know this, but if you'll look around, that is probably our smallest group of people in this church. 18 to 25 years old had the highest prevalence of mental illness, 25%. Compared to adults 26 to 49 who had 22.2% and ages 50 and older, 13.8%. An estimated 49.5% of adolescents ages 13 to 18 had a mental illness. That's tough. That is very tough. Because I don't know if you know it, but just in our church, I know this morning, I know of five individuals who are autistic that are attending this morning. I know of a couple who are battling depression. So you think these statistics speak outside the church, but these statistics actually speak very truly of the attendance in our churches today. People are hurting, and we're the church called to be there for the hurting people. So that's what I want to look at in the next few minutes, is five promises from God to anchor your faith. First anchor is God loves you unconditionally. When your day is so bad, or life has got you at the very bottom, and you feel like nobody loves you at all, we have a God who loves us. If you look at Romans 8, 38 through 39, now I will tell you, I'm not going to ask you to flip to every scripture because I'm using a lot of scripture today. Because I want you guys to at least be able to write down book, chapter, verse to reference these when you are in need. So Romans 8, 38 through 39, this is from the New American Standard Bible. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, when you feel like nothing else, when you feel so unworthy of love, there's one who's going to love you regardless. I told the students this morning, I try to make it as personal as I can whenever I think about Christ. Not that he died for us. No, he died for me. Whenever I'm thinking about it, he died for me. Because even if I was the only person alive and I was as wretched as I was, Christ would have still went to the cross for me. And he would have done the same for you because he loves you. Regardless of how many people turn their back on you, how many people spit in your face, you have a God. I won't even say a God. You have the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, Jehovah God, who loves you personally and intimately, and he'll never leave you. Number two, you are redeemed and have an eternal home in heaven. So I looked at it and I said, okay, Lord, you got to help me out. I'm not a smart man, and I've never... Brad's back there going... So I said, all right, let's look up this word redeemed, because I've heard it since I was a little kid, and we did this at one point. We went through a lot of words that you hear as a kid in church, and what does it really mean? Redeemed. Compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something, atone or make amends for error or evil. So I said, okay, we're looking at it, and my screen froze. Can you go back one, Pam? You are redeemed. So you're atoned for your evil person and have an eternal home in heaven. Yeah, my computer just went crazy. But if you'll go forward two slides. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have redemption. Not in anything else. Nothing else can take care of your evil, your filthy, nasty, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad ways. Nothing but the blood of Christ. And through him, through his blood, we have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Nothing but grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. There's nothing greater. Go ahead to the next. God formed you with intention and knows you intimately. God did not make a mistake. God did not, as much as Robert may say so, God didn't make a mistake. I'm sorry. He didn't make a mistake with me. I know I'm not a smart man. Forgetful, that's very true. Brittany will attest to that. My dad's here. He'll attest to it. I'm very forgetful. But you know what? God made me exactly how he wanted me. I mean, Brad may not have hair, but that's how God wanted him. You know, as much as you may look in the mirror and not like what you see, God looks at us and he loves what he sees. You know why? Because anything that God makes, it's perfect in his eyes. God don't make junk. Go ahead to our scripture for it. So this one's a little bit lengthy. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my laying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you are formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I love that psalm. Because whenever I'm thinking that I'm not worth a dime, my God tells me differently. You know, it says no matter where I go, I can't outrun you. Students, I'm telling you, wherever you go, you ain't outrunning God. You might hide it from Mama and Daddy. You might hide it from me and Brittany. But you ain't hiding from God. There's nowhere on this world or outside this world you can go that God does not see you. He does not know where you are. And He is not with you. And the one part that everybody always remembers is you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. Once again, God don't make junk. You're perfect in His eyes just the way you are. Now, do we, in our human nature, are we perfect? Not at all. But the way God created us, we are. Go ahead to the next slide. God's plan for your life is to prosper you, not to harm you. I tell you, up until 2 years ago, I had no clue where I was going to land. I didn't know if I was going to be at the dealership for the rest of my life. I really didn't have a direction. When I came out of high school, I didn't have a direction. I decided to go to Greenville Tech because that's what Mom and Daddy wanted me to do and study business management. Got a decent job, you know, failed Spanish too much and couldn't go back to school. So I just said, man, I'll just do the whole work the rest of my life thing, I guess. And there we went. I had no goal. And then I look and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What is in this life for me? Because at one point I got to the point that I said, God, there's nothing here for me anymore. I've had my fun. I'm just ready to die. I'm done. But God told me, He said, I got plans not to harm you. I'm not done with you yet. He said, I've got a plan for you. If you'll just have a little bit of faith, if you'll listen to me, if you'll follow me. And I'll say that whenever I started following Christ, things got a lot harder. A lot of times you hear people, man, I started following God, and man, my life was great. Life was pretty good, but it got real, real hard. Whenever I surrendered to the ministry, and I said, okay, I'll go back to school. I committed myself to my family, committed myself to our students, to this church, to my job. You really don't understand what you're getting into. I really don't think that any pastor who's ever said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to, ever realized what that meant. Because there's nights that it's 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning like last night. You're up studying. Your mind's just overriding your body's need for sleep, I think, sometimes. God's just like, no, I got one more thing to show you. But I tell you, whenever He says He's going to prosper you, He's going to prosper you. And that goes with our scripture for that one, which is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. No calamity. You ever watch the cartoons where you feel everything's just kind of crazy on it? It's all calamity. It's all rushing around and craziness. You ever felt like life's like that? I know I do. God said, that's not my desire for you. My desire for you is peace, wisdom, and understanding. You have special strength through faith. You have special strength through faith. You ever feel like you're just at the end of your ropes and you're so weak you just can't do anything? You're like, I really want something to drink, but I just can't open a bottle of Pepsi right now. I've been there. You're mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. But I want to tell you what I told our students this morning. See, as a Christian, you are in Christ, which makes you a child of the King. Well, what do you call a child of a king? A prince or a princess, right? Well, congratulations, you're all royalty this morning. Amen. And guess what? What can a king do? Anything he wants. What can a prince or a princess do? Anything they want, unless the king tells them not to, right? Congratulations. You have the same authority as Christ. He has given us that authority. He gave it to the disciples. Once the Spirit came down to them in Acts, what did the disciples do? They told a man who had been paralyzed all of his life, get up and walk. I ain't got any money, but I'll give you what I have got. When's the last time you saw somebody walking downtown Greenville walk up to somebody who may be in a wheelchair begging for money and go, listen, I don't have any money, but I'll give you what I got. Get up and walk. Do you think it's a lack of faith, maybe? Do you think we're lacking in the faith department? See, we have a special strength. We have the ability, if it's in God's will, to look at a dead person and tell them to get up. So don't think that whatever's going on in your life doesn't need God. Because I don't care if it's relationship issues, if it's depression, if it's an issue at work, issue at school, pray about it. Give it to God. Because I'll tell you, even though God may say, I'm not going to let you do this, I know as a kid, I'd oftentimes go to Dad and say, hey, Dad, will you do this for me? It's too hard for me. Hey, will you open this? So when you think it's too much for you, you got a father who cares. Take it to him. Go to him and say, Dad, I can't do this. I need your help. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I'd like to say something about this verse. And I want you to understand where this verse comes from. One day there's these two little boys. One goes to this church, one goes to this church. Church A and Church B. Well, Church A and B had basketball teams, and both little boys played on their basketball teams. Well, Church A and Church B had a game one night against each other. The whole time before the game, these two little boys were praying over this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And they claimed it for their basketball game. Well, basketball games don't end in a tie. Somebody had to lose. So what does that tell you probably may have happened to that little boy's faith? Do you think it was hurt a little bit? Because we oftentimes take this verse just like that. Even as adults, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This verse was actually written to the church at Philippi by Paul saying, all these things that I'm telling you to do in Christ, He will allow you to do them. So when you say, I really want to witness to this person at work, claim this verse. When you want God to change something in your life, that's when you can claim this verse. Don't claim it over a football game. It's ridiculous. You're taking the scripture and trying to use it for your earthly purpose, and it don't work. But I'm telling you, when you say, I have a family member who is dying and going to hell, but I'm scared to death to tell them about Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at Psalms 5:12. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with your favor as with a shield. Once again, when you're scared, let God stand in front of you. I tell you, got a friend, many of you know him. He's about this tall, shoulders about this wide. Y'all know Monty. If anybody was ever to get in a fight with me, I'd really want Monty standing in front of me. I mean, really and truly. But I tell you what, whenever I'm in a spiritual battle, whenever I'm in a battle for my life, or for that of my children, for my family, for this church, I want this shield standing in front of me. I want the shield of Christ. You know, that's five promises. Very simple, simple promises that I think we oftentimes forget about. I don't know why God led me to a message like this. It's not really what I wanted to do. But God said somebody needed to hear it. Whether it be here or social media, it might be a year from now before somebody hears this, but God knows. But I ask you this morning, do you know somebody who could use these five promises from God? Do you know somebody who's struggling, who's at the end of their rope, barely holding on, and ready to let go? Because if so, that's what this altar's for. This altar is for fighting. I truly believe. We just finished up the movie War Room with our youth group on Wednesday nights. And this lady, if you've never seen it, this lady goes into her closet. And she has prayers all over the walls. She has her Bible in front of her. And she goes to war against the devil. Why are we not doing this? Why are we not down here begging Christ to save, whether it be a friend, a family member, a child, a co-worker? What about those we don't even know? Our students, each other. Why are we not down here battling for each other? You don't know what the person sitting right beside you this morning may be going through. But you have the opportunity, just like Scotty said this morning, someone who may just be at the end of their rope and they can't even pray for themselves this morning. Your prayer that God answers save that person. Not save them for eternity, but it could save their life here on earth. God could start using you to work through them. You never know how God's going to work. So I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Christ, then I'm sorry, but these five promises of God to anchor your faith, they're not there. A lot of times that's why people do feel the way they do. They feel lost. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I can tell you exactly which way to turn this morning. It's right there. Just go to the cross. Go tell God, I'm sorry, I need you. You have nowhere else to turn? Great. Because he is the beginning and he is the end. If you're at the end of your rope, he'll meet you there. All you got to do is ask. At this time, if you'll stand with me, I've got music covered. I got music covered this morning. I want to encourage anybody who wants to come down front. Y'all go ahead and stand. Come down. Pray for each other. Pray over each other. Pray over your pastor. We got a brand new pastor here, and I know he ain't going to fuss about having prayer. Amen. We all need it. So if you'll go ahead and go to that last slide. Listen to the words of this song.
I have wrestled in the darkness of this lonely pilgrim land, raising strong and mighty fortresses that I alone command. But these castles I've constructed by the strength of my own hand are just temporary kingdoms on foundations made.